$5,750 for interpreter services.
Sorry, the interpreter's asking, could you repeat the last?
I'm sorry. So yes, once again, it was $5,750 for interpreting services, and I believe for the expenditures for the CART system for this meeting, or this meeting on a routine basis throughout the year. So right now, once again, it's just a hair over $65,500 expended to date. And I can further give you a little bit of a breakdown. CAN is responsible for about $52,617. The CIB, Connecticut Institute for the Blind, used $3,456 to send four clients to the summer camp in a resumption of an earlier precedent at the end of at the very beginning of this current fiscal year. There were two individual consumers who were served, one through UCP of Eastern Connecticut, and that was $2,090, and one client whose services are managed, I guess, by a conservator for just a little over $1,590. So that's how things break out. I'm happy to entertain any questions or further clarify any of that information.
Lisa Flaherty has a question.
Thank you so much for explaining that. Of course, we don't have the document, so I was trying to follow all the numbers, but getting that document in the future will certainly help. But I wanted to ask about, you were talking about 2022. Is that October 2022 till now? Is that the fiscal year we're speaking of?
No, this is.
And then my other question would be, how much is the annual state budget allocated for BSBY? For this, you know, program.
Sure. Thanks, Lisa. So the annual funds available are a little over $240,000, and of those funds, a little over $140,000 are allocated to the Communication Advocacy Network, or CAN. And indeed, I think I mentioned that CAN. Has used, you know, just a little under $53,000 to date. But this starts on July 1 of 2022. So this is the first 6 months of expenditures. July 1 through the end of December.
Kathy Morgan has a question.
Chris, I know that some of the money was used actually for the two fellows I'm guardian of at O'Kale CIB. My question is that, have you met to find out how many of the folks who are in the group homes are able to use this because of their age, because of their health? I think there have several who have since, you know, are deceased. So do you have an uptake on how many people at CIB can still be involved in this program?
So I do have a Yes. Hang on. I don't know. Maybe I can do a quick tabulation, and I don't know if Elise has anything to add while I'm quickly tabulating the number of clients on the current contract.
Hi, this is Elise. I got the list from an administrator that's currently out on leave. I am checking with one of our data specialists to make sure that the list is up to date and that there are not people on it who have passed. But we do have a list of all individuals served by BSB.
And so I did take a quick look at the spreadsheet page for CIB, and it lists 32 clients. So
that was the number that I had on my list.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to reach out to Elise, and you know, we could review who those clients are, you know, after this meeting. So let me make a note to do that.
Kathy Morgan has a comment.
Yeah, just to follow up, a reminder that this deadline grant was started back in 1970s, and the focus initially was of the grant, and we were hoping that it would continue with this population, this group at Oak Hill. And it's understandable that with aging, the rubella virus, what it has done, that we are, you know, we're starting to find that many can't use these services so much. So it's good that this funding is now being extended out to the community. But I want people to remember, you know, started off with these individuals so many years ago. So if you can keep up to date with Oak Hill, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to say that the current amount of the Oak Hill contract is for the 32 individuals is $38,354, and as I said, to date, looking for my figures here, we've spent about $3,456. And that was for the clients who actually attended the summer camp at the beginning of this fiscal year.
Chris, could you hold for 1 second?
Sure.
Hold on 1 second.
So I don't know if there are other questions about the budget.
We have somebody with their hand up. It says Robert, but I don't think it's a Robert.
It's Barbara Amy. It's Spotlight Amy.
It's Barbara Clunan. Yes, I would like to follow up on Kathy's comment. It is very important that the deafblind clients at Oak Hill have the opportunity to participate in this program, and as she said, maybe due to the progression of their problems, there are some things they can't do, but there are a lot of things they can do. And I know I keep encouraging that with Peter's but it seems to, I'm not sure if it's the not having, it seems to me that there's are staffing issues that are complicating the ability of Oak Hill to deliver these services. And I think that's, you know, I know that's rampant through every organization or every provider having two disabled people who use providers. But I really think the push should be to try as much as you can to get the services to the clients. There's still a lot of time left, and there's still a lot of money left that we really would not like to see this money go back because we couldn't afford them these opportunities to be in the inclusion in the community. So that's my thoughts.
Carol Jenkins has her hand up.
Hello, this is Carol again. This is my first meeting, and I'm curious. Is Elise the Oak Hill representative? Okay, I was just curious, what sorts of things is Oak Hill doing to increase these activities for the deafblind consumers that this grant is supporting?
This is Elise. We're working with our development and our Oak Hill centers, departments to be able to offer more activities. Mrs. Clunan is correct about why some of the community inclusion grant money hasn't been spent is because we struggle. We are struggling with staffing as are all the agencies. It is difficult, near impossible to be able to staff for the one-to-one kind of into the community things at this point. However, we're working with the camps to be able to offer creative options because the camps are also experiencing staffing issues. So we met with the camps last week to go over some creative options. There will be some overnight options. I was going to bring it to BSB to make sure that it would still fall under the grant, that we could use it if the services didn't look exactly the same. So when I get those, I will submit them. But I mean, that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to find creative ways to use the grant money to get everybody out into the community while we're still experiencing the staffing crisis.
Wayne Seidel has his hand up, and then Lisa Flaherty, and then Al Silvestri.
Hello, this is Wayne Seidel from DDS. I first want to thank Chris for the updated figures that are being shared. I think that is really, really helpful, especially since typically it's our next quarterly meeting where we discuss and start making some decisions about what we would like our next fiscal year budget to look like. And to make those decisions, we really need to consider, you know, the current and previous years. So I do think that's helpful. I also think it'll be very helpful to see something at our next meeting in writing with these figures or with updated figures as of that point. Just a few reflections based on what I heard. It sounds like CAN is doing a great job of utilizing the funds based on their current trajectory. And these are anecdotal observations from me, but their current trajectory, they're on target to spend 75% of their allocation this year. CIB, they've had many years of not utilizing the funds at all, so I'm encouraged that they were able to utilize the funds, some of the funds this year. They're on target. target to spend 18% of their allocation, and the rest is on target for roughly 14% of the allocation. So just some observations from me as to how the funds are being utilized. I think these numbers are obviously better than the past 3 years, where there have been really real challenges with the pandemic. It's a sign that we're coming out of the pandemic, the public health emergency, which is slated to officially end by the Center for Medicaid Services as of, I believe it's April 11th. So I am encouraged that there is some movement, and I'll look forward to seeing updated numbers at our next meeting. Thank you.
Next is Lisa Flaherty.
Lisa Flaherty here. Elise, I did have a question for you in regards to Oak Hill and their clients and so on. I know there is a staff shortage. I'm curious to know how many deafblind clients currently reside at Oak Hill that use sign language. Do we know that? I know that it's extremely difficult to find staff who utilize sign language as well to work with those clients. So I'm just wondering if you can tell me that.
I know that we have one house that all of the individuals living there use sign language. Above and beyond that, we have 32 people served by BESBE. I know all of them do not use sign language, but I don't have a specific number. It's certainly something I can look into and get back to you on. It is incredibly difficult to find staff that are proficient in sign language, particularly tactile sign language. And we have at least one full house of individuals that use tactile sign.
Yes, thank you.
House Sylvester?
Yeah, way to ask my questions. I think it's worth asking again. Chris, or whoever is in charge of that, would you mind making sure that with each agenda we get a copy of the spreadsheet, and then if necessary, an updated copy provided at the time of the meeting?
Sure. Thanks, Al. I will do that.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, if there's no other comments or questions regarding that last, let's see. Next on the agenda, we have, so Chris, my question is, a report from CAN on SSP recruitment, would that be the next
I don't know that we have a CAN representative here.
Sue Pedersen and Mary Jones have both come into the meeting since your attendance. So Sue Pedersen is here. Hold on a second.
Just a moment. Hi, everyone. Good morning. I'm sorry my background isn't the best, but with the snow day happening, I ended up working from home. I just got the link this morning, which is why I arrived late. Thank you to Margie for sending that to me. In regards to CAN, Margie and Chris had discussed the deaf and hard of hearing and deafblind community, and CAN does want to serve them, of course. So what we've done is started to send out the job description to those in the community for several different positions that are currently available. Our hope is to get some feedback or response. Unfortunately, there has been none thus far. As we've all referred to that staff shortage, we too are experiencing that in this area as well, especially especially with the deaf-blind and hard-of-hearing community, with the need of, you know, communication access and so on, whether it's, you know, in, you know, tactile, pro-tactile interpreting, you know, depending on the preference of individuals. Our CAN board has made a decision to prioritize the search for an SSP, a special services provider, for the deaf, hard of hearing, and deafblind community. Unfortunately, we have not had any feedback or response to that posting. Because of that, we've given some thought to maybe instead sending this out to those who do need those services and encouraging them to maybe potentially think of family members, friends, or others that they may know who are local and may be eligible for these positions to apply for this role going forward. So that's just one idea we've come up with to hopefully, you know, have a better result rather than the ways we've approached it in the past thus far. So if there's any help that anyone can provide to us with getting this word out in order to get this position filled and maintain our mission to serve this community, we would appreciate it. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today.
Anyone have any questions or comments?
Carol Jenkins has her hand raised.
Hello, this is Carol. Sue, you actually kind of addressed one of the thoughts that I was having about the SSP shortage, especially for the non-signers in the community that we have and that we serve. So if there is a deafblind consumer who has a friend or family member that could serve as an SSP for them, what would the process be for us? Do we just, does Margie send you that information? Do we have the person contact you directly? How would that work?
So as we explained, you know, what, in our initial advertisement, we had put that they could contact me, but that didn't seem to be effective. So at that point in time, I reached out to Margie for some help. Margie did say that maybe what we needed to do was include the job application within that. And so I believe she is planning on sending that out to those in the community and the individuals as well. For CAN, on CAN's behalf, but both options, whether they reach out to CAN or reach out to Margie, are viable options.
Thank you. That will help a lot. This was Carol.
And Lisa Flaherty has her hand raised. Thank you for bringing that up, Sue. You know, obviously, we are here to advocate for the deafblind community here in Connecticut as well and have significant concerns with things that we've witnessed. And, you know, for example, with the Oak Hill clients and trying to find staff members who can sign and not having any luck, and then the interpreter shortage and lack of qualified interpreters, especially within the tactile interpreting community as well, being frustrated. And I think, you know, really services in general just lacking and us all being unable to find people to fill these positions, CAN's efforts as well. You know, I just feel like the state of Connecticut, you know, some sort of exposure and recognition of the fact that this is such a statewide shortage. I wish there was a way to bring this to light so people would be aware, or at least more aware than they may be, because it may be a case of it just being the unknowns. And, you know, with the pandemic having been an issue up until now, the concern was obviously the physical touch required through tactile and pro-tactile interpreting as well. Those are concerns that maybe we can alleviate with some better education. So just, you know, the thought of maybe improving that knowledge base in the state was a thought.
Christine has her hand up.
Christine speaking. I was just curious, one, how much are SSPs being paid in the state of Connecticut?
So, who has that answer?
So it depends on the
Hold on, Chris. Susan's answering.
Susan, right. It does depend on their education level. It does range from about $16.50 to $20 an hour.
Okay.
Obviously, our hope is to give them a raise so that they can continue working for us as time goes on. You know, that is in the works as well. And so that's to answer your question. Thank you.
I have two questions back to back. They're all related, I promise. So, Christine speaking again. The second question is, has anyone investigated recruiting within the companion care services? Companion care is like very light. I used to do this all the time as a side gig. On weekends, I would hang out with people and take them shopping and help them with things around the house, companion care. It's a booming industry. There is no shortage in that because they usually pay about $25 an hour. And you could probably work with, I believe, let me see, Connecticut Home Care Program for the Elders. I don't know if anyone is aware of that program, but that could also diversify your funding for SSPs too. Especially if you guys explore waiver services for SSP funding. So I know other states have explored that in the past and it's been successful. Just putting that out there. Thanks.
Kathy Morgan has her hand up.
I think we should move on with the agenda. I just want to make one comment that, again, when this grant was created, it was understood that many of the individuals at Oak Hill would only learn very little sign language. It's those who, because there are multiple disabilities due to rubella. And I think Oak Hill CIB has done a good job in trying to put the pieces together during a pandemic for the last 3 years with the staff and the needs. But I think the language within the grant states, I'm not sure whether it says multi-handicap, but it's multiple disabilities that many of these individuals have more limited sign communication than many people may think. Thank you.
Margie has her hand up. Margie, your mic is off.
Okay, thank you. So this is Margie. Sorry about that. So I'm just asking, if the person were to be, if the consumers that need the services would hire their own SSP, recruit their own SSP, what kind of hours are they looking for? Would they be able to receive? And for mileage, what are they looking for mileage? Is it like a reimbursement? Is there a set mileage? How would that factor in? Because those are going to be questions that are asked of me. If I ask my consumers to try to find and recruit their own SSP, I'd like to be able to have something to tell them.
Christine has her hand up.
No, them first. They raised their hands before me.
Lisa Flaherty.
Yes, I'd like to add to that. In regard to SSPs,
Many people say they can't afford their car insurance if they're working with the consumers. It requires them to make an adjustment in their car insurance, and if they're not willing